Blog Talk Radio.
Like the driven snow, I have always been pure. Polite as Miss Manners, so mild and demure. More femme than fatale on a path that is narrow. More prim than lowbrow, as straight as an arrow. I colored within the lines, kept my ankles crossed. Listened to my elders, content to be bossed. Yes, I've always dotted my I's, crossed my T's, minded my Q's, and also minded my P's. But in the innuendo, it's my asterisk, so I'll shut my Von Trapp now to break it down for you like this. I'm gonna embrace the whole earth, full caboodle. Clad in skin-tight clothing, I'll become the girl that is it. I'll be lovably wicked, from my purse to my growls, scratching all my itches on my wildcat prowls. I'll take off my specs, loose my mane from its bun. I'll be a credit to my sex, and I'll be second to none. I'll be good to the boner, with variety and spice. A mumbler and a moaner, more naughty than nice. Hooching my coochie and grinding my bumps. Wooging my boogie, I'll shimmy my lumps. In amazing disgrace, I'll fly high my freak flag. Merkin in case, my carpet needs a good shag. Hooching my coochie and grinding my bumps, wooging my boogie, I'll shimmy my lumps. I'll trade in my harp for some down and dirty sax. I'll kick out all the jams, and I'll be ballin' some jacks.
Thank you.
Bonsoir and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs. It is the 19th of May in the year 2019, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com, broadcasting for you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California. Playtime with Sandra Radio is available to you via Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and livinggrind.com, my official website. The first two songs you heard at the top of the hour were Nice to Be Naughty by Catherine Miller, and Fourth Selection by Big Jack Johns. Up next, please enjoy A Second Devil by Toussaint Morisson.
We're going high, high, high in the heavens above.
While I was working sideways, rolling silverware, thinking what's my time was. Okay. Before my thought could finish, my girl sent a text saying we should end it. Initially, didn't know what to feel. She said my plans to leave for California gave her questions. I took a deep breath, took down my shield. The best of luck with St. Paul, see you in the next one. Press on, and that's one last bag to pack. Cause once it's time to hit the road, there's no looking back. Music is my mistress, Wiley is the magic hat. Los Angeles is my spacecraft to crash. Just a waiter in a restaurant dreaming, letting his mind wander while he's cleaning. Working with the means of a blind swordsman. I won't need to see the light to know I'm closing in.
Collide with the night till you're rolling. Collide till you've lost it all. And when you're almost at the bottom, check your pulse if you still got it. Don't know where anything worth is waiting for.
Hold on. Can you stand still while your self-esteem sinks? Wait in the cold now for your future sake. There's no clean blade in making the clean break. So I pack no more than I need take. Because my demons have been calling out my name. And I've been drifting like a ghost for so many winter days. That the outside and the inner are starting to feel the same. I'm banking on pennies from the sidewalk, cheap frame. Lack of morality, impulse, bad tempers. And a death trap with four wheels to get there. Never without those who click share in the kickstart for Wiley and I to even sit here. The world's a hardened sinner spinning out of spite. It can beg the question of where to draw the finish line. So I close my eyes longer than I can afford it. I won't need to see it to know I'm moving toward it.
Diamonds and lies weigh more than your pride and gold. Swim big in that world. Dive in the deep where every step makes a sick game. All good comes without trouble.
We're going high, high, high in the heavens above. Why can't we fight?
Сирена, заброшенный двор, грандиозные планы и выстрел в упор. Не увидишь заранее, что ждет впереди. Это страшная тайна, лишает груди. Океан волны пенит, как загнанный зверь. Жизнь кому-то изменит, закрытая дверь. Настоящие чувства и слез серебро. Знаешь, это искусство, посеять добро.
Best is too fast, the truth wrapped up in excuses. You are the weakest. I pull the coat back. The strings upon my heart, but you know that. Cause you pull them, yes, you pull them till I cry out. Cause you never felt comfortable with silence. Yes, you pull them, yes, you pull them till I bite down. On the lies that you built from my doubt. I don't want money, I don't want cars. I just wanna be free. And to keep it 100, all these scars are what make me, me. And I'll drink to that if you'll lift the glass in the hopes that one day we'll be something different than the glimpses that the devil let us see. So raise your eyes to crimson skies. Lay down your disguise. Embrace your design. I don't know much about love or trust, cause I only know about us. And we were never good, resentment was plentiful. So high destruction was inevitable. And this ain't the thing that you return to. This the type of thing that made me curse you. Type of thing that made me not care if I hurt you. Not give a damn that I hurt you. I don't want money, I don't want cars. I just wanna be free. And to keep it 100, all these scars are what make me, me. And I'll drink to that if you'll lift the glass in the hopes that one day we'll be something different than the glimpses that the devil let us see. So raise your eyes to crimson skies. Lay down your disguise. Embrace your design. So I swear I'd never give you no line in a poem, and that no melody would ever carry your memory in song. But this sort of deception feels it's like home. Cause since the day you left, it's all that how you've known. And for the most part, I bleed you for my soul. But sometimes my hands they move without my control. Reaching through the darkness for someone to hold, when I know damn well that I'm better off alone. Cause you try to say everything, verse, bridge, and chorus. And I curse your name until my voice rang hoarse. And I was worried how you would be after the divorce. Until I built a broken heart, man, nothing to a corpse. I don't want money, I don't want cars. I just wanna be free. And to keep it 100, all these scars are what make me, me. And I'll drink to that if you'll lift the glass in the hopes that one day we'll be something different than the glimpses that the devil let us see.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. And I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. You just heard A Second Devil by Toussaint Morisson, At Dawn by Distemper, Augustus Pablo by the Dubuegeans, and Be Free by Elephant Funeral. There we are. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And I want to give a big shout out to the East Coast. Thank you for hosting me last weekend. I had a lot of fun, and I bought quite a lot of books. Yeah, that's me. That's how I do. But before we get into anything else, let me go ahead and give you some music and also an audio clip of On the Road. But let's start out with the song very quickly. I'm sorry, my dog is barking like crazy tonight. I don't know why. Alrighty, where's my phone? It's missing. Oh, there we go. Wait. No. Voila, accidental beat.
Let me hear that beat, man. Rocket. That's the beatest beat.
Thank you. became a beatnik, or I was opening up my rays, and this one part dropped down into the hole. So since I couldn't shave, I said to my wife, well, I'm going to become a beatnik.
On the Road by Jack Kerouac, recorded by Sandra London, June 17th, 2015. Part 1. I first met Dean not long after my wife and I split up. I had just gotten over a serious illness that I won't bother to talk about, except that it had something to do with the miserably weary split up. My feelings that everything was dead. With the coming of Dean Moriarty began the part of my life you could call my life on the road. Before that, I'd often dreamed of going west to see the country, always vaguely planning and never taking off. Dean is the perfect guy for the road because he actually was born on the road when his parents were passing through Salt Lake City in 1926 in a jalopy on the way to Los Angeles. First reports of him came to me through Chad King, who'd shown me a few letters from him written in a New Mexico reform school. I was tremendously interested in the letters because they so naively and sweetly asked Chad to teach him all about Nietzsche and all the wonderful intellectual things that Chad knew. At one point, Carlo and I talked about the letters and wondered if we would ever meet the strange Dean Moriarty. This is all far back, when Dean was not the way he is today, when he was a young jail kid shrouded in mystery. Then news came that Dean was out of reform school and was coming to New York for the first time. Also, there was talk that he had just married a girl called Mary Lou. One day, I was hanging around the campus, and Chad and Tim Gray told me Dean was staying in a cold water pad in East Harlem, the Spanish Harlem. Dean had arrived the night before, the first time in New York, with his beautiful little sharp chick, Mary Lou. They got off the Greyhound bus at 50th Street and cut around the corner looking for a place to eat and went right in Hector's. And since then, Hector's cafeteria has always been a big symbol of New York for Dean. They spent money on beautiful, big glazed cakes and cream puffs. All this time, Dean was telling Mary Lou things like this. Now, darling, here, we're in New York, and although I haven't quite told you everything that I was thinking about when we could cross Missouri, and especially at the point when we passed the Boonville Reformatory, which reminded me of my jail problem, it is absolutely necessary now to postpone all those leftover things concerning our personal love things, and at once began thinking of specific work-life plans, and so on in the way that he had in those early days. I went to the Coldwater flat with the boys, and Dean came to the door in his shorts. Mary Lou was jumping off the couch. Dean had dispatched the occupant of the apartment to the kitchen, probably to make coffee, while he proceeded with his love problems. For to him, sex was the one and only holy and important thing in life, although he had to sweat and curse to make a living and so on. You saw that in the way he stood, bobbing his head, always looking down, nodding like a young boxer to instructions to make you think he was listening to every word, throwing in 1,000 yeses and that's right. My first impression of Dean was of a young Gene Autry, trim, thin-hipped, blue-eyed, with a real Oklahoma accent, a sideburned hero of the snowy West. In fact, he'd just been working on a ranch, Ed Walls, in Colorado, before marrying Mary Lou and coming east. Mary Lou was a pretty blonde with immense ringlets of hair like a sea of golden tresses. She sat there on the edge of the couch with her hands hanging in her lap and her smoky blue country eyes fixed in a wide stare because she was in an evil gray New York pad that she'd heard about back west and waiting like a long-bodied, emaciated, Modigliani surrealist woman in a serious room. But outside of being a sweet little girl, she was awfully dumb and capable of doing horrible things. And that night, we all drank beer and pulled wrists and talked till dawn. And in the morning, while we sat around, dumbly smoking butts from ashtrays in the gray light of gloomy day, Dean got up nervously, paced around, thinking, and decided the thing to do was to have Mary Lou make breakfast and sweep the floor. In other words, we've got to get on the ball, darling, what I'm saying. Otherwise, it'll be fluctuating and lack true knowledge or crystallization of our plans. Then I went away. During the following week, he confided in Chad King that he absolutely had to learn how to write from him. Chad said I was a writer, and he could come to me for advice. Meanwhile, Dean had gotten a job in a parking lot, had a fight with Mary Lou in their Hoboken apartment. God knows why they were there. And she was so mad and so down deep vindictive that she reported to the police some false, trumped-up, hysterical, crazy charge, and Dean had to land from Hoboken. So he had no place to live. He came right out to Paterson, New Jersey, where I was living with my aunt, and one night while I was studying there was a knock on the door. And there was Dean, bowing, shuffling obsequiously in the dark of the hall, and saying, "Hello, you remember me, Dean Moriarty? I've come to ask you to show me how to write." "And where's Mary Lou?" I asked. And Dean said she'd apparently hoarded a few dollars together and gone back to Denver. The whore. So we went out to have a few beers because we couldn't talk like we wanted to talk in front of my aunt, who sat in the living room reading her paper. She took one look at Dean and decided that he was a madman. In the bar, I told Dean, "Hell, man, I know very well you didn't come to me only to want to become a writer. And after all, what do I really know about it except you've got to stick to it with the energy of a Benny addict?" And he said, "Yes, of course, I know exactly what you mean. And in fact, all those problems have occurred to me. But the thing that I want is a realization of those factors. That's one to depend on Schopenhauer's dichotomy for any inwardly realized..." And so on, in that way, things I understood not a bit, and he himself didn't. In those days, he really didn't know what he was talking about. That is to say, he was a young Yale kid, all hung up on the wonderful possibilities of becoming a real intellectual, and liked to talk in the tone and using the words, but in a jumbled way that he had heard from real intellectuals. Although, mind you, he wasn't so naive as that in all other things. And it took him just a few months with Carlo Marx to become completely in there with all the terms and jargon. Nonetheless, we understood each other on other levels of madness, and I agreed that he could stay at my house till he found a job, and furthermore, we agreed to go out west sometime. That was the winter of 1947. One night, when Dean ate supper at my house, he already had the parking lot job in New York, he leaned over my shoulders as I typed rapidly away and said, "Come on, man, those girls won't wait, make it fast." I said, "Hold on just a minute, I'll be right with you as soon as I finish this chapter," and it was one of the best chapters in the book. Then I dressed and off we flew to New York to meet some girls. As we rode in the bus in this weird phosphorescent void of the Lincoln Tunnel, we leaned on each other with fingers waving and yelled and talked excitedly as I was beginning to get the bug, like Dean. He was simply a youth tremendously excited with life, and though he was a con man, he was only conning because he wanted so much to live and to get involved with people who would otherwise pay no attention to him. He was conning me, and I knew it, for room and board and how to write, etc. And he knew, I knew, this has been the basis of our relationship, but I didn't care about how we got along. Or I didn't care, and we got along fine. No pestering, no catering. We tiptoed around each other like heartbreaking new friends. I began to learn from him as much as he probably learned from me. As far as my work was concerned, he said, "Go ahead. Everything you do is great." He watched over my shoulder as I wrote stories, yelling, "Yes, that's right. Wow, man." And whew, and wiped his face with his handkerchief. man, wow, there's so many things to do, so many things to write. How to even begin to get it all down? And without modified restraints, I'm all hung up on, like, literary inhibitions and grammatical fears. That's right, man. Now you're talking. And a kind of holy lightning I saw flashing from his excitement and his visions, which he described so torrentially that people on buses looked around to see the overexcited knight. In the West, he'd spent a third of his time in the pool hall, a third in jail, and a third in the public library. They'd see him rushing eagerly down the winter streets, bareheaded, carrying books to the pool hall, or climbing trees to get into the attics of buddies where he spent days reading or hiding from the law. We went to New York. I forget what the situation was. Two colored girls. There were no girls there. They were supposed to meet him at a diner and didn't show up. We went to his parking lot where he had a few things to do, change his clothes in the shack and back, and spruce up a bit in front of a cracked mirror and so on. And then we took off. And that was the night Dean met Carlo Marx. A tremendous thing happened when Dean met Carlo Marx. Two keen minds that they are, they took to each other at the drop of a hat. Two piercing eyes glanced into two piercing eyes, the holy con man with a shiny mind and the sorrowful, poetic con man with a dark mind that is Carlo Marx. From that moment on, I saw very little of Dean, and I was a little sorry, too. Their energies met head-on. I was a lout compared. I couldn't keep up with them. The whole mad swirl of everything that was to come began then. It would mix up all my friends and all I had left of my family and a big dust cloud over the American night. Carlo told him of old Bully, Elmer Hassel, Jane, Lee in Texas growing weed, Hassel on Rikers Island, Jane wandering on Times Square in a Benzedrine hallucination with a baby girl in her arms and ending up in Bellevue, and Dean told Carlo of unknown people in the West like Tommy Sharp, the club-footed pool hall rotation jerk and card player and queer saint. He told him of Roy Johnson, Big Ed Dunkel, his boyhood buddies, his street buddies, his innumerable girls and sex parties and pornographic pictures, his heroes, heroines, adventurers. They rushed down the street together, digging everything in the early way they had, which later became so much sadder, perceptive, and blank. But then they danced down the streets like dingle doties, and I shambled after, as I've been doing all my life, after people who interest me. Because the only people for me are the mad ones. The ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time. The ones who never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, 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 like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars. And then in the middle, you see the blue center light pop, and everybody goes, aww. What did they call such young people in Ghost Germany? Wanting dearly to learn how to write like Carlo, the first thing you know, Dean was attacking him with a great amorous soul such as only a con man can have. Now, Carlo, let me speak. Here's what I'm saying. I didn't see them for about 2 weeks, during which time they cemented their relationship to fiendish all-day, all-night talk proportions. And then came spring, the great time of traveling, and everybody in the scattered gang was getting ready to take one trip or another. I was busily at work on my novel, and when I came to the halfway mark, after a trip down south with my aunt to visit my brother Rocco, I got ready to travel west for the very first time. Dean had already left. Carlo and I saw him off at the 34th Street Greyhound station. Upstairs, they had a place where you could make pictures for a quarter. Carlo took off his glasses and looked sinister. Dean made a profile shot and looked coyly around. I took a straight picture that made me look like a 30-year-old Italian who'd kill anybody who said anything against his mother. This picture, Carlo and Dean neatly cut down the middle with a razor and saved a half each in their wallets. Dean was wearing a real Western business suit for his big trip back to Denver. He'd finished his first fling in New York. I say fling, but he only worked like a dog in parking lots. The most fantastic parking lot attendant in the world. He can back a car 40 miles an hour into a tight squeeze and stop at the wall, jump out, race among fenders, leap into another car, circle it 50 miles an hour in a narrow space, back swiftly into a tight spot, hump, snap the car with the emergency so that you see it bounce tracks as he flies up, then clear to the ticket shack, spring like a track star, hand a ticket, leap into a newly arrived car before the owners tap out, leap literally under him as he steps out, start the car with the door flapping, and roar off to the next available spot, arc, pop in, brake, out, run. Working like that without pause, 8 hours a night, evening rush hours and after theater rush hours, in greasy wino pants with a frayed fur-lined jacket and beat shoes that flip. Now he'd bought a new suit to go back in. Blue with pencil stripes, vest and all. $11 on 3rd Avenue, with a watch and watch chain, and a portable typewriter with which he was going to start writing in a Denver rooming house as soon as he got a job there. We had a farewell meal of Frank's and Dean's and a 7th Avenue Rikers, and then Dean got on the bus that said Chicago and roared off into the night. There went our Wrangler. I promised myself to go the same way when spring really bloomed and opened up the land. And this was really the way that my whole road experience began, and the things that were to come are too fantastic not to tell. Yes, and it wasn't only because I was a writer and needed new experiences that I wanted to know Dean more, and because my life hanging around the campus had reached the completion of its cycle and was stultified, but because somehow, in spite of our difference in character, he reminded me of some long-lost brother. The sight of his suffering, bony face with the long sideburns and a straining, muscular, sweating neck made me remember my boyhood and those dye dumps and swim holes and riversides of Paterson and the Passaic. His dirty work clothes clung to him so gracefully, as though he couldn't buy a better fit from a custom tailor, but only earn it from the natural tailor of natural joy, as Dean had, and his dresses. And in his excited way of speaking, I heard again the voices of old companions and brothers under the bridge, among the motorcycles, along the wash line neighborhood, and drowsy doorsteps of afternoon, where boys played guitars while their older brothers worked in the mills. All my other current friends were intellectuals. Chad, the Nietzschean anthropologist, Carlo Marx and his nutty surrealist, low-voiced, serious, staring talk, old Bull Lee and his critical anti-everything drawl, or else they were slinking criminals like Elmer Hassel with that hip sneer, Jane Lee, the same sprawled on the oriental cover of her couch, sniffing at the New Yorker. But Dean's intelligence was every bit as formal and shining and complete without the tedious intellectualness. And his criminality was not something that sulked and sneered. It was a wild, yes-ang overburst of American joy. It was Western, the West Wind, an ode from the plains, something new, long prophesied, long a-coming. He only stole cars for joyrides. Besides, all my New York friends were in the negative, nightmare position of putting down society and giving their tired, bookish, or political, or psychoanalytical reasons. But Dean just raced in society, eager for bread and love. He didn't care one way or the other. So long as I can get that little gal, that little something down there between her legs, boy, and so long as we can eat, son, you hear me? I'm hungry. I'm starving. Let's eat right now. And off we'd rush to eat, whereas, as said, saith Ecclesiastes, it is your portion under the sun. A Western kinsman of the sun, Dean. Although my aunt warned me that he would get me in trouble, I could hear a new call and see a new horizon and believe it at my young age. And a little bit of trouble, or even Dean's eventual rejection of me as a buddy, putting me down, as he would later, on starving sidewalks and sick beds. What did it matter? I was a young writer, and I wanted to take off. Somewhere along the line, I knew there'd be girls, visions, everything. Somewhere along the line, the pearl would be handed to me.
Thank you. and I'ma have to go.
True genius, distant planet, unknown species. My rap straight crack like Reese's Pieces. I got knee deep in a stack of CDs. Just to rock the masses, cause they looking sleepy. It's what I preach, y'all. They live in a hustle, ain't easy. But your prize always super fly. Homie, y'all believe me. Yo, I'm about to blow this town, man. Y'all about to know my sound. Watch me rise to the top. I ain't never coming down. Baby, I'm about to blow.
Thank you.
0400 hour 17 on 18 April 1911. I had about come undone, finito, cooked, over. I know this now. You won't. It is what is in the writing that counts, above all things. Deceased, Jane or John Doe. Time of death, 0100 hours 20. There are 3 whole hours in there, or just about, and 1 or more others, or thereabout. I remember. My hair, down to there, everywhere. My tongue, my tears, my tits, my pussy, pretty skull. The cold, darkness, the order. Lean back, look up, eyes closed, wrap your lips round. Sealed, skin tight, the light, ugh, lights, harsh, gross, so profane, so brilliant, my double D's. Mais moi, je ne pose pas, monsieur. I shield my brights in polite society, merci bien. Sacré bleu. The smoke, the probe, a rescue, a seizure, your hands, my waist, a pleasant plop, aplomb, eternal warmth, then abandon. A hoverer, a tunnel, alien and alone, all at the same time, colorblind, colorless, a heady omnipresence of gray, gray, gay, a cockfest catastrophe, with no end, no sight, some savior, some witness, a messenger, a call for agency, familiarity, long pause, vile accusations, pressure, a lift, long pause, restraint, a faceplant, long pause, I wail, I plead, mercy, release, an ear, an end, long pause. I dread the blur, the weight, fluid time. I seek connaissance. I could be more than me, possibly 1 and 1/9, 1 and 2/9, maybe less, maybe more. Let's see. A producer, if you will. Produce, if you must, or insist, but never, not ever, a director, a dwelling, per se, perchance, curtilage included, a box within a box, packaging, born at sea, submission, born in the air, this box, squared, on ready-made display, this play, window lady, window girl, wonder woman, LMP, and okay, look at, talk at, written around, written without, stamped within, shrouded in code, valued at, 1/9, maybe 2/9, but never as one. Time of birth, 0400 hours 17. Time of death, 0100 hours 20. Rewind, a still life, your last breath.
Yeah. chart.
And I guess I want it all, man.
We talking about yachts in the Caribbean,
yeah,
Mike.
I want it all, man.
$100 prom, $100 prom.
And I guess I want it all, man.
Real red
lobster,
not the restaurant.
Not
the restaurant. Bitch, I'm Black Plago. City of Chicago, politic my pimpin' black tinted Marcialago, female cargo, push them out the car door. Bitch, you know I'm Gucci, I'm who hoes go to war for. Middleman strategy, me I'm sitting casually, waiting by the exit for my bitch to bring my present, call a tax free settlement. Plago gon' embezzle it. Gator boots and jewelry, guess me getting money's evident. Study dead presidents, turned it into blood money. Bitch could cry a river, couldn't even get a hug from it. Pimping on this line, be on time, work your service. My constituents are rich, get my money, it's your purpose. Who support us? Support us, oh, lay down like union workers. Flipping burgers, it's your future. While I island hop Bermuda, getting money like I'm supposed to. Pimping legal hoes too. Dead rows of Mac and paper stacking on the floor too. What you paying,
and I guess
boy?
I won't
looking like your
man.
Buff, like your buff. To get money out here, money out here. We out there, and we out there.
And I guess I won't.
We smoking that good green, that good green, that good green.
And I guess I won't.
Y'all don't know about that money, nigga. You ever had $1,000 in a $40 hotel?
And I guess I won't it all, man.
But it'll be worth it. But it'll be worth it.
And I guess I won't it all, man.
$100 chips, nigga.
And I guess I won't it all,
man.
$100
I'm getting rich. Running them different shifts, black tenant, whip is renting. I'm working my lieutenant, Stacy Adam up her ass, she bleeding, playing broke. When I know it ain't no limit to pimping, I up her throat. Got deals on the table, the voters who make me rich. Every John, Dick, and Harry who paying to get they fix.
Got
secret handshakes, the shake snakes who mix. Trying to change my campaign of money over you tricks. On constructing public housing, teach you out of thousands. My hoe never snitch, only say it don't involve him. Resco was a fool like the people who surround him. Danny is my G, he can hide and money found him. Me, I'm so spectacular, pimping my vernacular. Take a Cleopatra to the moon when I'm cracking her. Double up my stack on her, show her money magic. Keep her feet walking the turf till her knees on the carpet, knees on the carpet,
and I guess I want it all, man.
What y'all know about that money, man?
I guess I want it all, man.
Y'all know about them Egyptian blinds,
and I guess I want it all,
that Egyptian, that hot,
and I guess I want it all, man.
Y'all still paying the part, man. We part, man. We back late, man.
And I guess I want it all.
The owner comes out first.
And I guess I want it all, man.
Two words for you, man.
And I guess I want it all, man.
Can you swim? Can you swim? I can. I drowned a few holes. Matter of fact, I almost got bit by alligators. Must recognize his cousin on my gator pool. We getting money. Stuart, he using suits. And I still got perfect health.
Pegou todo mundo de surpresa, mas você tava em casa esperando o que me diz. Você sabia da chuva, então guarda por favor um pedacinho que eu não quero mais ter que discutir sobre o que faltou e o que sobrou pra mim, meu amor. De bicicleta na praia de Copacabana, deixa pra semana que vem, meu bem, mas não se deixe levar. Mesmo quando não tem chuva, mesmo quando faz calor, a gente podia tá andando na lagoa ou na Tijuca, ou empresta um pouco do meu tempo pra eu descansar e refletir o que a aconteceu não foi assim tão importante. Eu tentei, mas não tive como chegar. Corri, mas não consegui alcançar. Todo mundo de surpresa, mas você tava em casa esperando o que? Me diz, você sabia da chuva?
I've been plotting, scheming, late nights, daydreaming. I see perfection and simplicity, not complicated. I like life just like a symphony. Beautiful music, keep no company if it's misery. Look, no bullshit and that's your missus. We got history, but man, that's history. Piss dirty, but I'm clean.
I smoke, nigga.
I got my lawyer working on some things. She can lose her mind, but she gotta keep her knees. She hit that gas and brought her up to speed. And now we on the same level. I like a bad bitch, might just get your ass in trouble. I turn savage, I get it straight up off the hustle. You know it, I got it going. I heard you talking, now you gotta show it. I'ma do you like I own it. Give it to me like it's mine.
Like it's mine.
You're looking like you want it. Just don't waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I'ma do it how you want it. Give it to me like it's mine.
Like it's mine.
I'ma do you like I own it. We can do this all the time. Do this all the time.
Play your part, everybody got a role. Slipping light till the night unfold. You're looking like it, like the ice in the gold. I can look inside your eyes, like no. And I ain't judging that. Still trying to count up 100 stacks, and I see what y'all doing. I have fun with that. Lil' run, but I'm done with that. I'm on new shit. I heard Nick talk, we don't do shit. I had to see my nigga on the news clip. So every chance that I get it getting rich, I might have to turn up on these niggas go stupid. You look like the type that just deserve better. I see your vision, you a go getter. I know go get em. And for the night, and it might just be for the night. We can do anything that we like, even if it's only for the thrill. Even if we doing out of spite. You're looking like, you scratch, you bite. I'ma fuck you right.
I'ma fuck you
like I own it, motherfucker.
Give it to me like it's mine. You're looking like you want it. Just don't waste my time.
The Game by Jack London, Chapter 1. Many patterns of carpet lay rolled out before them on the floor. Two of Brussels showed the beginning of their quest, and its ending in that direction, while a score of ingrains lured their eyes and prolonged the debate between desire pocketbook. The head of the department did them the honor of waiting upon himself, or did Joe the honor, as she well knew, for she had noted the open-mouthed awe of the elevator boy who brought them up. Nor had she been blind to the marked respect shown Joe by the urchins and groups of young fellows on corners when she walked with him in their own neighborhood down at the west end of the town. But the head of the department was called away to the telephone, and in her mind, the splendid promise of the carpets and the irk of the pocketbook were thrust aside by a greater doubt and anxiety. "But I don't see what you find to like in it, Joe," she said softly, the note of insistence in her words betraying recent and unsatisfactory discussion. For a fleeting moment, a shadow darkened his boyish face, to be replaced by the glow of tenderness. He was only a boy, as she was only a girl, two young things, on the threshold of life, house renting and buying carpets together.
What's the good of worrying? He questioned. It's the last go, the very last. He smiled at her, but she saw on his lips the unconscious and all but breathed sigh of renunciation. And with the instinctive monopoly of woman for her mate, she feared this thing she did not understand and which gripped his life so strongly. You know, the go with O'Neill cleared the last payment on Mother's house, he went on, and that's off my mind. Now, this last with Ponta will give me $100 in a bank, and even 100, that's the purse, for you and me to start on. A nest egg. She disregarded the money appeal. But you like it, this game, you call it. Why? He lacked speech expression. He expressed himself with his hands, at his work, and with his body and the play of his muscles in the squared ring. But to tell with his own lips the charm of the squared ring was beyond him. Yet he essayed, and haltingly at first, to express what he felt and analyzed when playing the game at the supreme summit of existence. All I know, Genevieve, is that you feel good in the ring when you've got the man where you want him, when he's had a punch at both sleeves waiting for you and you've never given him an opening to land him, when you've landed your own little punch and he's going groggy and holding on and the referee's dragging him off so you can go in and finish him and all the house is shouting and tearing itself loose and you know you're the best man and that you played him fair and won him out. Because you're the best, man, I tell you. He ceased, brokenly, alarmed by his own volubility and by Genevieve's look of alarm. As he talked, she had watched his face while fear dawned in her own. As he described the moment of moments to her, on his inward vision were lined the tottering man, the lights, the shouting house, and he swept out and away from her on this tide of life that was beyond her comprehension, menacing, irresistible, making her love pitiful and weak. The Joe she knew receded, faded, became lost. The fresh, boyish face was gone. The tenderness of the eyes, the sweetness of the mouth with its curves and pictured corners. It was a man's face she saw, a face of steel, tense and immobile, a mouth of steel, the lips like the jaws of a trap. Eyes of steel, dilated, intent, and the light in them and the glitter or the light and glitter of steel. The face of a man, and she had known only his boy face. This face she did not know at all. And yet, while it frightened her, she was vaguely stirred with pride in him. His masculinity, the masculinity of the fighting male, made its inevitable appeal to her. A female, molded by all her heredity to seek out a strong man for mate and to lean against the wall of his strength. She did not understand this force of his being that rose mightier than her love and laid its compulsion upon him. And yet, in her woman's heart, she was aware of the sweet pang which told her that for her sake, for love's own sake, he had surrendered to her, abandoned all that portion of his life, and that this one last fight would never fight again. Mrs. Silverstein doesn't like prize fighting, she said. She's down on it, and she knows something, too. He smiled indulgently, concealing a hurt not altogether new at her persistent inappreciation of this side of his nature and life in which he took the greatest pride. It was to him power and achievement, earned by his own effort and hard work. And in the moment when he had offered himself and all that he was to Genevieve, it was this and this alone that he was proudly conscious of laying at her feet. It was the merit of work performed, a guerdon of manhood finer and greater than any other man could offer, and it had been to him his justification and right to possess her. And she had not understood it then, as she did not understand it now, and he might well have wondered what else she found in him to make him worthy. Mrs. Silverstein is a dub, and a softy, and a knocker, he said good-humoredly, What'd she know about such things anyway? I tell you, it is good and healthy too. This last is an afterthought. Look at me. I tell you, I have to live clean to be in condition like this. I live cleaner than she does, or her old man, or anybody you know. Baths, rub downs, exercise, regular hours, good food, and no making a pig of myself. No drinking, no smoking, nothing that'll hurt me. Why, I live cleaner than you, Genevieve. Honest, I do, he hastened to add at sight of her shocked face. I don't mean water and soap, but look there. His hand closed reverently but firmly on her arm. Soft. You're all soft, all over. Not like mine. Here, feel this. He pressed the ends of her fingers into his hard arm muscles until she winced from the hurt. Hard all over, just like that, he went on. Now that's what I call clean. Every bit of flesh and blood and muscle is clean right down to the bones. And they're clean, too. No soap and water only on the skin, but clean all the way in. I tell you, it feels clean. It knows it's clean itself. When I wake up in the morning and go to work, every drop of blood and bit of meat is shouting right out that it is clean. Oh, I tell you. He paused with swift awkwardness, again confounded by his unwanted flow of speech. Never in his life had he been stirred to such utterance, and never in his life had there been cause to be so stirred. For it was the game that had been questioned, its verity and worth, the game itself, the biggest thing in the world, or what had been the biggest thing in the world, until that chance afternoon and that chance purchase in Silverstein's candy store, when Genevieve loomed suddenly, colossal in his life, overshadowing all other things. He was beginning to see, though vaguely, the sharp conflict between woman and career, between a man's work in the world and a woman's need of the man. But he was not capable of generalization. He saw only the antagonism between the concrete, flesh and blood Genevieve and the great, abstract, living game. Each resented the other. Each claimed him. He was torn with the strife and yet drifted helpless on the currents of their contention.
I wanna do it. This is for, this is for, this is for, this is for all y'all. This is for, this is for, oh, this is for all y'all.
Music is pain. Usually they say you get the rap. You heard me sing. I bring it back. Samples and tracks. Wear a lot of hats. Plan for attack. We shoot the vids. I bring out the cam. Let's book a show. And please pay in advance, bro. I love the shit. My whole life.
I've forever been a savage, forever been a savage, always farthest from the average, always farthest from the average.
I love this shit, my whole life, Call me Hurricane, cause I blow too many trees. I am formed a habit, still cool as 2 degrees. I spend all my cheese just to get a high. Zoo they waving by, only way to fly this life. Stop, some call it a life. I love this shit, my whole life,
I've forever been a savage, always farthest from the average, always farthest from the average.
I love this shit, my whole life,
I won't wait for change, trying to spit a verse on the greatest stage. Only thing that hurts is the latest stage. Wanna see the world, gonna break this cage. Waiting for the bus, labor for a buck. Couldn't book a tour, so I made one up. Hop on board, let's skate, no trucks. More than ordinary, bruh, cut that check. Put some respect, student loans, massive debt. Stupid homes, that's the neck. Produce the song, rapping vet. The people love the melody and the simple song. It is wrong if we ever forget who this is for. This is for,
this is for all y'all. Let's levish. It's for my ladies. Yeah, it's expensive. Oh, she's so picky, icky. Got them tricking on that pussy, how she's so tricky, icky. Looking so sexy, I got that stiffy, iffy. Let me crawl up in that nookie, call me itty bitty. Wanna get lifted? Come roll this spliffy, iffy. Wanna get tipsy? I get so trippy, iffy. She drippy, saying that she don't want no hickeys. You could kiss me, but hurry up, I got her wet like a witch. Yeah, stiffy, iffy. She wanna ride and roll that sticky, icky. Oh, she got that alley and she licky icky. Lickin' at me, she want that quicky icky. She want that quicky icky, say she want licky icky. Say the mother niggas iffy iffy. She gon' ride it and roll that sticky icky. Lookin' at me, she want that quicky icky. She want that quicky icky. Yeah, I pet that kitty yitty. I know you like it. Rubbin' that titty yitty. Got you excited. Get that sticky icky. You invited to my city, yeti. Come through, shorty, I ain't with the chitty chitty. Oh yeah, that pussy so pink, oh that's so pretty, yeti. Go so hard when I beat it, I feel no pity, yeti. Hit me up and I pick you up like a willy, yeti. Get you silly, she say the mother niggas, yeti, yeti. She wanna run and roll that sticky, yeti. Oh, she got that lolly and she licky, yeti. Lickin' at me, she want that quickie, yeti. She want that quickie yicky, cause she want licky yicky. Say the mother niggas iffy iffy. She gon' ride it and roll that sticky yicky. Looking at me, she want that quickie yicky. She want that quickie yicky.
I like that sticky yicky. Oh my baby don't smoke, she on that sippy yicky.
Hello all you sexy naked girls radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night. With me, Sandra London, on
Now that's better, baby. Why don't we sing a song to help pass the time? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.